In today's gospel, Christ's glory is revealed to Peter, James, and John. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There is a little story about this bird who spent his whole day lying on his back with his feet extended as high up as he could, like this, all day long. The other little birds wondered what was going on, so they came and said to the little bird, You know, you should straighten up and fly right. The bird said, Well, no, you don't understand. What I'm doing here is holding up the sky. If I don't do this, the whole sky is going to collapse and kill us all. I'm holding up the sky. So just as he was saying that, though, a branch broke off from a tree and fell right down next to him, startled him, and he flew away. The other little birds went looking for him, and they found him huddled on a branch, all shivering and shaking. So the other birds said to him, See, you don't have to be afraid. The sky didn't fall down. You don't have to worry. The sky's not going to fall. He said, Well, you don't understand. See, up until now, I thought I knew what my purpose in life was. I thought I knew what my life was all about, holding up the sky. Now, I know that's not true. And I don't know what my life is about at all. That's why I'm afraid. Interesting little parable, huh, about life. We could apply it, I think, in a very special way this morning to Peter, James, and John, who go up on the mountain with the Lord. Now, when they're going up there, they think they've got everything all figured out. They've come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's going to get rid of the Romans, establish Israel as a great kingdom, and they will be powerful people in the kingdom. They've got that all figured out. But when they get up on the mountain, something happens that changes all that. This cloud comes and overshadows Jesus. Now remember, in the Old Testament, whenever a cloud appears, it's the presence of God himself. Remember when God frees the Israelites from Egypt, he leads them through the Red Sea and into the desert in a pillar of cloud, God's presence. When Moses goes up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, a cloud comes and settles on the mountain, the presence of God. When Solomon, some centuries later, will build the great, beautiful temple in Jerusalem, the cloud will come and settle on the temple, God taking up residence in the temple. The cloud, always in the Old Testament, stands for God's presence. So here they are watching all this, Peter, James, and John, and they see this cloud come and settle on Jesus. What's that mean? Well, it means that Jesus is much more than what they thought. Yes, he was the Messiah. They had that figured out, but this cloud settling on him shows that somehow God himself is in Jesus. Somehow Jesus is more than a man. He's divine. And they become terribly frightened. All of their plans, all of the things they thought they had figured out nothing. And they're afraid. They fall down face first on the ground. What could this God-man demand of them? What did this mean for their life that they thought was all pretty well settled? They're afraid. Their whole vision of things has been changed, overturned. And I think that's not too far from, you know, from our experience of living, isn't it? We think we've got things figured out. We think we know what's going on. We think we understand God's plan for us. Then something happens, and we realize that maybe we were putting words in God's mouth. It was our plan, not God's plan. I'm thinking of a priest in the diocese, for example, who, after many years of faithful service, retired last year. He was going to help out around in parishes and so forth, and then he goes to the doctor one day, and the doctor tells him that he's got a degenerative eye disease. He's going to leave him almost blind. What's that mean for him now? He said to me one day, you know, of all the things that could happen to me, this was the furthest thing from my mind. Everything changed. I'm thinking of a young couple, married about a year, year and a half, who are now ready to start a family, looking forward to it, really want to start a family. And they found out recently that they're sterile. They'll never be able to have babies. And with so few babies to adopt these days, what's that mean for them? Their whole life, all they thought they had figured out. Of course, it can work the other way too. I know a woman who's about 35 years old who is single, who just thought she would always remain single. The right man never had come along. She was reconciled to the fact that she would be single for the rest of her life. And all of a sudden, she meets somebody, and they fall in love, and he wants to marry her. What's this mean? What's that going to mean for her? Everything has changed now. And we could all add our own experiences to that sort of thing. We think we got it all figured out, and then we're face down in the dust. We don't have it figured out at all. What then? Well, what does Jesus do to Peter, James, and John? Comes to them and says to them, "Be not afraid." Yes, things aren't clear to you anymore, but don't be afraid. I am with you. That's what he says to us in those moments. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'll get you through. Think about Abram in the first reading of Mass today. Abram, whose name will be changed to Abraham, of course, when he receives this new vocation from God. But think about him for a minute. He's 75 years old, probably enjoying the fruits of a lifetime of labor. God comes to him and says, "Abram, take everything you have and leave your country and go out." Now imagine that, 75 years old. Take everything you have and leave. Now, if it were you and me, what would we say to God? We'd probably say, "Well, okay, God, but where am I going?" But God doesn't tell Abraham where he's going. He says, "Abraham, leave to a land that I will show you along the way. I'll tell you where you're going after you left. Leave, trust me, I'll take you where you're going." Imagine that. Abraham does it. Everything changed. Everything has just changed. But he trusts God. And God does ultimately lead him to a new land. So I think the lesson for you and me is a powerful one today. You know, in the 8th chapter of the letter to the Romans, St. Paul writes these words to us. maybe among the most powerful words in all of his letters, he writes this: I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not death, not life. Not present things, not future things. Not principalities, not powers. Not height, nor depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And Jesus says to us, don't be afraid. I am with you. That's what he says to us today. When life, just totally sits, everything has gone askew, we don't understand, don't be afraid. I'm leading you to a land I've got prepared for you. And you'll find it along the way, because I am with you. May God bless you.